From claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt.
EWTN Radio presents The Miracle Hunter with Michael O'Neill.
Welcome to The Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm The Miracle Hunter. Hey, there's a brand new film that's coming out that I'm really excited about. I'm going to check this one out on October 7th. It's out one day and one day only, and it's a film called Broken Mary. And you can go to brokenmaryfilm.com to check this one out. And this, of course, is that story of Kevin Matthews. And I'm a Chicago guy myself, and I remember Kevin Matthews as a radio show host here in Chicago. And he's got a brand new film talking about his tragic life that has turned him towards Mary and towards Jesus. And it's a beautiful new film. Check it out, brokenmaryfilm.com on October 7th only. We'll also be talking with Susie Andres, who's written a new book called Shower of Roses, The Most Beautiful Miracle Stories of St. Therese of Lisieux. And of course, this past week, we celebrated that big anniversary, that feast day that Catholics all over the world have celebrated. That is the feast day of St. Therese. So excited to talk with Susie later in the show. Check out my series, They Might Be Saints, which is my series about Americans on the path to sainthood and the search for canonization miracles. It airs every week on EWTN, and this week, on October 7th, on Tuesday, the episode of They Might Be Saints is about Sister Marie de Montmorency. And this is one of my favorite of all the stories. This is a fascinating story of Sister Marie de Montmorency, and we follow her extraordinary efforts to locate the House of Mary, the Mother of Jesus, as she travels to Ephesus, Turkey, to bring this treasure to the Catholic Church. So check that one out. TheyMightBeSaints.com will get you to the show page, but check it out on October 7th, the story of Sister Marie de Montmorency. And my other series, Explore with the Miracle Hunter, airs every Saturday at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. And Paray-le-Monial is the subject of this week's exploration. We visit Paray-le-Monial in France, where St. Margaret Mary Ellicoque first experienced dramatic visions of Jesus' Sacred Heart. I explore the origins of this cherished devotion. And again, that's Explore with the Miracle Hunter, Paray-le-Monial, coming up on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. Later in the show, we're going to be looking at the Might Be Saint of the Day. For today, we have Blessed Julian Majali, who was from Sicily, dying in the year 1470. In the 365 Days with Mary Project on October 4th, we've got Our Lady of the Fruit of the Oak from Mezzana in Italy in the 13th century. And the question of the week, it's a good one. What are the tears of weeping statues of Mary usually composed of? I'll do my best to answer that one. And the miracle of the day is the translation of the body of St. Francis of Assisi in the year 1226. I'll tell you about the miracles that happened on that day. Let's take a look at the miracle news. We do this every week where we talk about miracles happening all around the world and those things that relate to miracles. And perhaps the most incredible miraculous image from around the world is the Shroud of Turin, that Kyropoita image, that not made from human hands image that we believe to be the purported, or is the purported burial cloth of Christ. There has been some new findings related to the shroud. And there's a new article published on Academia in which a dental surgeon has observed teeth in the image of the Shroud of Turin. Now, of course, the Shroud of Turin is believed by many to be the burial cloth of Christ, but there's disagreement as to whether or not the image contains teeth. And this has been attracted curiosity and speculation, and there's been a multitude of vertical striations in the linen cloth. One has to be careful to avoid pareidolia, that tendency of the human brain to perceive familiar patterns, such as faces or teeth, in ambiguous or random visual data. So the author, who is a dental surgeon, uses high-resolution images of the face in the shroud and magnifies it further and delineates what in dentistry is known as the incisal plane, or an imaginary line connecting the biting edges of the interior teeth. And he concludes that there is a distinct incisal plane with adjacent lower teeth, which is not obscured by the presence of the distinct mustache, as are the upper teeth. So this incisal plane runs perpendicular to the striations of the linen cloth caused by the herringbone weave. It is anatomically correct, raising the issue that a form of energy, maybe X-rays, may have been emitted by the body forming the image, If this is true, it has ramifications of spiritual significance. And so this is, you can find it on academia.edu, this new paper that was written relating to the finding of teeth on the shroud. So that's a fascinating development. We still have never seen Rome give its formal judgment of approval that this is truly the burial cloth of Christ. Of course, everybody who's followed this, we are curious about the fact that there has not been anybody who's ever produced the evidence enough to say that it isn't the burial cloth of Christ. So stay tuned for that, and we'll find out more about this study finding teeth. Let's take a look at Catholic Pub Trivia. We do this every week where we ask a trivia question, give out a prize, the Miracle Hunter image of the faces of Mary, to an emailer who writes in the fastest with the correct answer. Send your answers to questions@miraclehunter.com, and answers and winners will be posted on the show page on miraclehunter.com. Now, last week we were talking about Padre Pio, who famously bore the stigmata. And the question was, who was the last person to be declared a saint, blessed, or venerable to bear the wounds of Christ? And the answer to that question is Martha Roban. She lived from 1902 to 1981, and she was a mystic and stigmatist, and she was declared venerable. And, of course, there are others who have the stigmata who have not been quite yet recognized by the Church. Francis Irving Houle from Upper Peninsula, Michigan is one, or Rhoda Wise from Canton, Ohio. Those are people who purportedly bore the wounds of Christ. These are servants of God, so not yet venerables, blessings, or saints. So someday maybe that trivia question will change, but for now the answer was Martha Roban. This week's question, we're talking about St. Therese and some of her miracles related to roses. And the question is, name any saint from France who was canonized faster than St. Therese. And of course, she was canonized in a speedy way. She was quite a popular saint. So the question is, name any saint from France who was canonized faster than St. Therese. If you think you know that answer and want to win the prize, the image of the faces of Mary, send me an email to questions@miraclehunter.com. And we'll see if you've got the right answer. And answers and winners will be posted on the show page on miraclehunter.com. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Kevin Matthews about the brand new film, Broken Mary. Stay with us for that.
Back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. There's a brand new film that's out on October 7th for one day only. And I'm so excited about this one. And it's called Broken Mary, the Kevin Matthews story. And I've known of this story for years now. And it's a fascinating true story about a man who had it all, then lost everything, only to find peace and purpose through the mercy of Christ and the intercession of Mary. And this is a one-time showing on October 7th. Hopefully this film will catch fire and more people will get to watch it after that. But we're so excited today to talk to Kevin Matthews himself. Welcome to the program today, Kevin.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you again.
And this is a great great film. I'm so excited that it's going to be making it out to the world on October 7th. And for those people who don't know the story of Broken Mary, and your story specifically, you were a guy, let's say, who had it all in this era before social media and smartphones. Radio was the place to be. So, and you were a huge name with 10 million listeners. Talk a little bit about those days on the radio, what that was like for you.
You know, it was iconic here in Chicago. Chicago was the perfect storm from 1985, and I left Chicago in 2005. But when I joined the Loop, the iconic Loop, we bought an AM station that got into 32 states in Canada, And together with a great morning host, Jonathan Brandmeier, myself, Steve Dahl, who gave us Disco Demolition. And
I remember all those names. I'm a Chicago guy myself. Absolutely. Yeah.
Shutting down that doubleheader White Sox game. And then at night we had this new guy, Michael Jordan. He and the Bulls just led. Well, that's history. Nobody could tune us out. We had 10 million listening a week, and it was glorious. And then technology takes over, satellite radio, phones and whatnot. And, you know, anything man-made is going to come to an end. And it did. And it really did for me. My life changed overnight because I was diagnosed with a rare form of MS. And that really made it hard to do.
Let's talk a little bit about that. You were riding high on the hog, the king of the hill, you might say. And then talk about that diagnosis. Obviously, when you go in for those MRIs and they look for the spots in your brain and spine, and then they can identify what that was. Talk a little bit about that sit down with the doctor when you first heard that news. What did that mean to you at that point?
I was with my wife, and the doctor at first, they did take an MRI. And they thought it was a brain tumor, and it was a rather large one, and where it was located, they would not be able to operate. So I had 2 weeks, go get your life in order. And I'm an hour away from a brain biopsy, and they determined that it was a very rare form of MS. So the treatment was very severe and whatnot, and it just changed my life. And the one thing I want people to know, yes, I ran a rowdy life, but God does not give us cancer or hurt us. God is a loving God. I'm so blessed to have MS because I understand what suffering means now. And I've always said, just recently I was speaking in New Jersey last week, and this beautiful priest said, "Kevin, your stigmata is your MS." Mm. And I took that as that is beautiful. When we have something wrong, we can't hear, we can't see, we suffer and whatnot, to be able to give this suffering to Christ Jesus as a gift in exchange for the conversion of sinners, my life, everything in it is blessed.
Yeah, you've got an amazing outlook. We're talking today with Kevin Matthews about the Broken Mary film, and out on October 7th. And when we talk about this diagnosis with MS, of course, that disrupted your life completely. Your job had to change. Your life had to change. Your health was shattered. What kind of got you to the place you are today, where you've accepted it and you've found faith? Your childhood faith, I believe, right? You were raised Catholic.
Yes.
Why did you come roaring back to the faith, or what was the turning point?
Well, it was a slow return, but I was raised Catholic, and I called myself back then a zombie Catholic because I made sure that my kids got the sacraments. And, you know, slowly, though, on Sunday, I don't want to go to church. I want to watch the Bears. I just made an excuse to avoid Christ. And when it happened to me is after I'm diagnosed, I sign a 5-year deal. I think, okay, it's starting to level out. I'll be okay. The new boss called me in his offices and said, you're fired. We don't want you. And I'm like, I just signed a 5-year deal. And he goes, sue us. And the next day, I'm literally, what am I going to do? I got 2 weeks notice. And I hear the Holy Spirit, and I used to call it a voice, say, get your wife some flowers. There's no coincidence in life. I look up, there's a flower shop. I do drive in. I get out of my car, and I'm walking towards the door. But over to my left, I notice a dumpster, a blue dumpster. So my calling, God called me to a dumpster. And a filthy dumpster. And lying on the ground was, I could tell right away it was the statue of the Virgin Mary. I walk over to it. She's on her back. She's broken in half at the waist. She's missing her hands. She's looking at me. She's covered in garbage. And that's when I hear the voice of Jesus Christ say to me, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? And I went into the flower shop and I said, I want to buy that statue of the Virgin Mary by the dumpster. This woman goes, oh, no, 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 no. That's a family heirloom. We'll never sell that. And I hear the voice again of Christ, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? It was very stern. And for the first time in so long, I close my eyes and say a quick prayer, help me, God. And the next thing that came out of my mouth, I have no idea where it came from, but I said, I'll give money to nuns that live out around here. And the woman looks at me and she goes, I know your voice. Are you Kevin Matthews? You got fired yesterday. I listened to you. What happened? But it opens up a door. It's providence. It's God's way. Had I not said a prayer, it'd be different. But here it is. It opens a door. I was able to get the statue. I kept her broken. A friend of mine who's a priest told me where to get her fixed. I went out in the spring to a monument maker. He said, I can put her back together. I can make her look brand new. I'll put new hands. And you won't even be able to tell she's broken. And that's when I physically cried for the first time and said, please, no, don't touch her. She's broken, Mary. I'm broken. We're both broken. Keep us broken. And I have had this beautiful statue blessed, and it has traveled throughout the country. It's becoming world known. And two books later, a movie later, here it is. And all I did was listen. And, you know, I love your show because of the miracles. And I have recorded so many miracles with people coming to our Blessed Mother to go to Christ. They're amazing, if you want me to tell you any. They're amazing.
We're talking today with Kevin Matthews about Broken Mary, a brand new movie that's out related to him becoming himself Mary's roadie, taking that incredible statue, that Broken Mary statue, everywhere he goes and telling the world about it. Yeah, tell us a little bit about some of those miracle moments or those stories of people who have seen that statue and have met you and what it's done for their lives.
Right. Well, what I do is I've been speaking in churches and all over the country for the last 10 years. And for one, I remember I was in Chicago speaking, and I normally stay in the sacristy or, you know, but for some reason I moved out towards the audience. It was packed. And I looked at this woman, and our Blessed Mother said, go to her, bring her, say three Hail Marys, and tell her she will be fine. And so I did. I walked into the crowd, and here's Kevin Matthews. And I went up, and we said three Hail Marys. And I said, let's talk after it, but our Blessed Mother wants to assure you, you will be fine. And afterwards, I learned that she was undergoing breast cancer. And we talked about how our Blessed Mother wanted her to recite the rosary. She is in the documentary. She has been in remission since that day. And she's gathered other women with breast cancer who recite the rosary and have a closeness to our Blessed Mother, all in recession. I had another man who needed a liver transplant. I said, we have to say the rosary. And we just got devoted to the rosary. He did. And devoted, saying the rosary, really becoming aware of our Blessed Mother. And he was in so much need. Doctors had him on a list, the transplant list. But then something happened to his liver where it starts to repair itself from the inside out. Yeah. He's in the documentary. He's alive. And I was in Texas, Grapevine, Texas. I spoke at a men's conference. And this man comes up to me and says, thank you, because I was going to go home and I was going to take my life. But your love for the Blessed Mother, suddenly I want to be with her. And I don't have any desire to end my life. I just want to recite the rosary. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So if anything, that is just one of many. But to be able to say, the man did not kill himself. I am so blessed because I am Mary's roadie. This movie is beautiful. Why should you see it? It's one night only because it's not a movie about me. It's a movie about us, everybody on this planet. From the Pope to everyone, we're all broken, but we're loved by God. And God has his hand out. All we have to do is reach for it, hold it, and we're forever in his love for eternity.
Absolutely. We're talking today with Kevin Matthews about the brand new film Broken Mary, out in theaters on October 7th. And Kevin, when we look at this, I know you've written books, you've gone all over the place speaking at different places. In fact, one of the places I spoke at, you were the speaker right before me the previous year at that location. And I know you're making the rounds and you're impacting lives everywhere you go. What sparked the film? How did the film come to be?
You know, again, all I did was listen. That's all I've done. I've listened. And I was speaking 6 years ago at a men's conference, and a person, Eric, the owner and president of ODB Films, listened and said, you know, this is an interesting story. Let's stay in touch. We did. And eventually, here it is. We wrapped last year. And it is such a beautiful movie. I didn't promote this. It's God's doing. The books, Matthew Kelly, How I Met Matthew is a miracle. My last book, I had to put pictures in Mary's Roadie because I said to Matthew Kelly, people won't believe me. They'll think I'm lying. And so it's God. This is the first book Matthew ever printed with pictures in it. So again, I'm just doing, I made a vow, a covenant with Jesus. Not long ago, I said, Jesus, you are the shepherd of shepherds. All I want to be is your shepherd dog. I'm beat up. I can't walk right. I'm sinful. I'm just old and I'm tired, but I want to be your shepherd dog. And any lamb that moves from you, I will move them back without biting and without barking. And that's what I do. I'm his little shepherd dog. I'm Mary's roadie. I've never been happier in my life. God is real. Christ is real. Mary is real. What I love about Mary is she's everyone's mother. And when we fear that we've really messed up, as a little kid, I would always run to my mother. And that's what Mary's for. She's here to take you personally, gently, to her son.
Absolutely. And when we talk about this film, it's more, your story is amazing, but it's more than just about you and your transformation. It's really a film about the mercy of God, his infinite and merciful and unconditional love. And Mary brings us closer to her son. For those people who are interested in seeing this film, tell them what they're going to experience when they sit down to listen to this story.
You will definitely be in the company of God, of Christ, of Mary, seriously. This is just absolute beauty through simplicity. But just know that you are loved. Again, we're all broken, but we're loved by God. Even if you've dropped faith, you haven't gone to church in so long, you're welcome to come here. This isn't a bribery. I just want you to know you're going to be able to relate to it because as busted as we are, as broken as we are, you have to remember, I think everyone listening right now has no idea how loved they are by God. You are a lamb of God. You were created by God. As long as you are on this earth, you are a child of God. You can be forgiven. And so I would love people to just come and be with God for an hour and watch the ending, because I'm very blessed to have done something at the end of this that I know is going to touch the world.
Absolutely beautiful. And we have this film out on one day and one day only. That's October 7th. What's the best way that people can get tickets or to check out this film?
What you can do is, because it's released all over the country, is you could go to Broken Mary Film, brokenmaryfilm.com, and you can put in your zip code and there will be a theater near you. But it's one night only, and let's see what happens. This is up to God, and he's never failed me. So I'm honored to be his little shepherd dog.
Well, we're so grateful to you, Kevin Matthews, for sitting with us and talking about this this Broken Mary movement in your life, and for turning this into a film for people all over the world to get to know your story and to see how Christ's mercy can impact their own lives. Thank you so much, Kevin Matthews, for joining us on today's program.
And bless you. It's so good to hear your voice again.
God bless. That was Kevin Matthews talking to us about the brand new film, Broken Mary. And you can go to the website, brokenmaryfilm.com, to purchase tickets for that showing. One day and one day only. That's October 7th. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be looking at the question of the week. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter Radio Show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill and the Miracle Hunter. Hey, I love getting your questions. People write in from around the world with questions about miracles happening in today's world and those that have happened centuries ago. And I love answering the questions in my email inbox. I've got a pretty funny email inbox, you might imagine. And I try to answer those as much as I can. But I also like the questions in person. And I travel around the country. I speak at about 15 or 20 different parishes or organizations or conferences. And I just spoke at a men's conference this past week in Connecticut. Thank you for that invitation to speak. It was absolutely wonderful to meet the people there. And I love getting the question. I do a talk for about 45 minutes, usually about Eucharistic miracles like I did this past week, or apparitions of Mary, or how the church investigates the supernatural, or how saints are made. And then I open it up to questions afterwards, and I love hearing what people are thinking about. So anybody interested in having me speak at their parish, you can contact me through my website, miraclehunter.com. Click on the contact tab, and you can send me a message that way. And so the question for this week is, what are the weeping tears, or what are the tears of a weeping statue of Mary usually composed of? Thank you, Jim. Well, thanks, Jim, for your question, and it's a good one. We might all assume that the weeping tears are actually true human tears, and yes, some of them are. And other people might say, well, I'm pretty sure that those tears are tears of blood. Well, some of them are. And other people might say, well, I've heard of these tears of oil or myrrh, like in Russia or Greece, on those Orthodox icons. Well, yes, there are those as well. And so the real answer to the question, and some are just plain water. And we might say, well, what is this all about? Why aren't the tears all the same in all cases? Well, unfortunately, I answer this way a lot of questions, but all miracles are a little bit complicated, and that's a question for God when we get to heaven. We don't really know why the tears are different in different places. They always try to rule out some kind of hoax, of course. There have been times when they've thought they were tears of blood and they were paint, or that they were pig's fat that were hit by the rain and turned into a blood-like substance. There's been that. There have been leaky pipes in which water has dripped onto a statue, and people assumed it was the weeping of the statue. So there have been all kinds of hoaxes that have happened, but the church always does its best to ferret out these things and make sure that it's an authentic case, and x-raying the statue when possible and doing any other kind of video surveillance or other checking or doing the chemical testing of those tears. So once those hoaxes are ruled out, it still doesn't change the fact that the tears are different in all kinds of different cases. So it's a great question, Jim. Thank you for that one. We don't really know the reason why the tears are different in different places, and we don't necessarily even know what the meaning of the tears are, although seeing your mother in heaven crying should all cause us to reflect on how our actions are affecting her son, Jesus Christ. And so thank you, Jim, for your question. If you have a question for the Miracle Hunter, send me an email at questions@miraclehunter.com, and maybe I'll be answering your question on the air next week. Let's take a look at the 365 Days with Mary project. We do this every week. We look at the Marian devotion of the day as it lines up exactly to the day's date. We all know Fatima, May 13th, or Guadalupe, December 12th, or Lourdes, February 11th. But believe it or not, there's a different other Marian devotion for each and every day of the calendar year. And so for today's date, on October 4th, we've got Our Lady of the Fruit of the Oak from Mazzano in Italy in the 13th century. And the story goes that a deaf and mute shepherd used to rest in the shade of an oak tree while watching the sheep of his father. And one morning he was waking up, and the shepherd saw a great light and an oak and remained still. And through the branches he saw a lady appearing dressed in blue, speaking softly, "Go to your village, call your father." And the shepherd ran to the house in a tremendous shock, told his father, and invited him to follow him back. His father and daughter, with a group of people who had heard the news, went to the oak, and the lady was gone, but had left the witness a miraculous presence. The deaf and mute shepherd now spoke and heard. And a chapel was built to the Virgin Mary under the title of Our Lady of Gianda. And that is today's devotion, Our Lady of the Fruit of the Oak from Mazzano in Italy in the 13th century. For more information on this fascinating devotion, or any of the hundreds of other Marian devotions from around the world, You can go to the website, 365dayswithmary.com. You can pick up the book. You can go to the Facebook page and join any of the 10,000 other followers. Or you can download the free app from the iOS App Store, 365 Days with Mary. Let's take a look at the miracle of the day. We do this every week where we look at a miracle that's happened on the day's date in some year in Christian history. And for today's date, the miracle relates to St. Francis of Assisi. Now, St. Francis died on October 3rd in the year 1226, but on October 4th, the right following his death, his body was solemnly translated or moved from the Portiuncula to the Church of San Giorgio in Assisi. And during that process, people witnessed miracles attributed to him in his canonization process, healings of lepers, of the paralyzed, people afflicted with dropsy, released prisoners, even people restored from death. And so there were miracles in that translation process of his body, which occurred on October 4th, 1226, and that's today's Miracle of the Day. Let's take a look at the sainthood news. We do this every week where we talk to you about those people on the path to sainthood, moving along from servant of God to venerable to blessed to saint. And I always try to keep you up to date on who's coming down the pipeline or big events related to canonizations. Well, there was just a brand new beatification that happened on September 6th, and it was in Versprem in Hungary, and the representative of the Holy Father was Cardinal Peter Erdo. And he was the one who presided over that beatification mass. And the person being beatified was Mary Magdalene Bodi. She was a secular who died in 1945, and she was a martyr. And she was a lay faithful who would have liked to embrace religious life, but since no congregation would welcome her, during a spiritual retreat, she consecrated herself to Christ the King, making a private vow of perpetual chastity, and she died invoking the Lord. And her body was recovered by her father, who gave her temporary burial in the village cemetery. And there was Mary Magdalene Bodi from Hungary. And that is the sainthood news for today. If we look at the might-be saint of the day, a person on that path to sainthood whose death lines up exactly to today's date, we have Blessed Julianne Majali, who lived in Sicily and died in the year 1470. And his memorial is today, on October 4th. He was a Benedictine monk at San Martino delle Scale Monastery in Sicily. He was an abbot, a hermit in 1464, and he was highly regarded by kings and popes, and he died in the year 1470. And that is today's might-be saint of the day, Blessed Julian Majali. With one more miracle, Blessed Julian will go on to become known as Saint Julian. And if we look at They Might Be Saints, which is my television series, which airs on EWTN, and I've got a book of that same title, EWTN, or They Might Be Saints, at EWTNRC.com. I think it's my best one. But in that series, we look at people on the path to sainthood. And the first one we look at is Sister Marie de Montegrance. And that airs on Tuesday, October 7th. It's the fascinating story of Sister Marie de Montegrance. We follow her extraordinary efforts to locate the house of Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she travels to Ephesus, Turkey, to bring this treasure to the Catholic Church. And that's They Might Be Saints, Sister Marie de Montegrance, on Tuesday, October 7th. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about a brand new book, A Shower of Roses, The Most Beautiful Miracles of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. We'll be talking with author Susie Andres. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. Just a few years ago, I was able to go to Lisieux in France and go to the great basilica there dedicated to the French saint, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. And for people who don't know, there's been many stories of miracles related to Saint Thérèse, and even after that she died, I think there were so many accounts of her her miracles being worked, and it was a fast canonization, if I remember correctly. And we talk about her great promise of a shower of roses. Well, we're so excited today to present a new book that's out from Angelico Press. It's called A Shower of Roses, The Most Beautiful Miracles of St. Therese of Lisieux. And we're joined today by Susie Andres. Welcome to the program today, Susie.
Thank you, Michael. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we're so excited to have you be with us today, representing Angelico Press to talk about this book, and authored by someone from Lisieux, one of the lay archivists there. Talk a little bit about how you got connected to the book, A Shower of Roses.
Yes, well, I am a big fan of St. Therese from way back, as I hope many of your listeners are, or they will become so, I'm sure, listening to this. The Shower of Roses is the expression that St. Therese herself used when she was dying. She was going to send down a shower of roses. And as you mentioned, this came true immediately after her death, with roses beyond counting, in sometimes in the form of roses, but really heavenly graces and miracles. So the Carmel of Lisieux would receive all these letters. Therese said, "You'll find your consolation in the mailbox," to her sisters. And even during World War One, they would receive 250 letters a day during a paper shortage, and how do you write letters from the front? But many of these were from soldiers in World War One who were rescued and miraculously saved by St. Therese. So Angelico Press recently, I'd say maybe in the last 5 years, put out a beautiful book called Stronger Than Steel, which is a translation of some of these letters, which had originally been published by the Carmel of Lisieux 100 years ago. And the subtitle is Soldiers of the Great War Write to Therese of Lisieux. And I was aware of that book and enjoyed it and gave out copies like crazy. So when I found out 2 years ago that a new book had come out in France by the lay archivist of the Carmel, Camille Bourret, and it was called A Shower of Roses, The Most Beautiful Miracles of St. Therese of Lisieux, I got a copy on my Kindle in French. I can't read French, just a word here and there. So I was having my Kindle translate it, and I called up or emailed, I can't remember which, Angelico, and said, "Hey, you guys are amazing. You love St. Therese. You put out this beautiful Stronger Than Steel book about the World War One miracles. What would you think about this book, A Shower of Roses, which covers the whole gamut of miracles, also including a section on World War One, but coming up pretty much to the present day and taken from these letters in the Carmel?" These have not been available to the reading public for 100 years. Because I'm an aficionado and a book collector, I have next to me one of the early copies of Story of a Soul from the Lisieux Carmel. And in it, in the back, there would be a section on A Shower of Roses in which they would collect some of these letters. Those were also translated into English in certain old copies of Story of a Soul, but rare to find now. So Angelico Press, I was so delighted. They agreed to publish the book. They got a translator, same French nun who had translated Stronger Than Steel. And they put it out with the thought that, this is the 100th anniversary of Therese's canonization, big jubilee year. There's also going to be, starting October 1st, her feast this year, there is a relic tour of St. Therese's traveling Brazilian reliquary, and it's going around the U.S. in a big way for the first time in this major way for 25 years. So the timing is perfect. The book just came out recently, and people can read about her miracles. And I'm here in particular because I've written books of my own on St. Therese, a book called Something New with St. Therese, Her Eucharistic Miracle. And Angelico knew that the French author, the French translator, couldn't speak about this book in English, or unlikely. So that's why I get to have this fun job of talking to you and telling your listeners how wonderful St. Therese is and how wonderful this book is.
Wonderful. Well, we're excited about this book, and I think that the subtitle is really captivating, The Most Beautiful Miracles of St. Therese. Now, are the miracles in this book old miracles, or are they the new ones that are occurring?
Oh my goodness. They start from a day after her death, which she called her entrance into eternal life. And they go up until, I'd say, almost contemporary. One of my favorite miracles from the day after she died they laid out her body in the Carmel, but it was behind a grill, and visitors could come and pass through items like rosaries to be touched to her body. They didn't know then that she would be declared a saint. They had no idea, but she was a holy nun, they thought. So one of her novices, Maria of the Trinity, who had been instructed by Therese had told her, after I die, I don't want you to cry. I want you to be happy for me, and I want you to love God, and I don't want you to cry a lot. Here's a little shell you can cry in. And it was a little tiny shell. And Maria of the Trinity was not interested in crying in the shell. She wanted to sob her heart out. So that's what she had been doing, disobeying Therese. The day after Therese died, she's handed these items, and she takes a rosary from a person and touches it to the body of St. Therese and touches it to her hand. And Therese's fingers grab the rosary. This is one of the later parts of the book telling this story. She would not let go. Therese, which is Therese's body, her soul obviously is in heaven, but her body would not let go until Marie hears this interior voice, promise me you'll smile and stop crying. And she kept refusing. And for 5 minutes, she's in a tug of war with Therese's dead body until she agrees and Therese lets go. That would be the day after her death. There's another lovely miracle that's all the way in, I would say it was 2008, a beautiful story of a woman whose husband had died. She had asked Therese to give her husband a peaceful death from the cancer he was dying from. After he died, she prayed to Therese to give her a sign that he was in heaven. And she left a store and saw her car in the parking lot. It was covered with rose petals detached from one end of the other. There were rose petals all over her car. And this was just a few years ago. So they're covering the gamut of time since her death until now.
That's amazing. We're talking today with Susie Andres about a new book, A Shower of Roses, The Most Beautiful Miracles of St. Therese of Lisieux. Of course, this is timed with the feast day of St. Therese here on October 1st. And then also we have the relic tour that commemorates her 100th anniversary of her canonization. Now, with St. Therese, we have so many different connections to popes, of course. There's that story that St. Therese begged the pope to be able to, for her to enter Carmel at a young age. And after she died, various popes acknowledged her role in the church and also declared her a doctor of the church. So we've seen various popes recognizing Therese and the role that she had. Talk a little bit about the miracles related to popes.
Well, it's really so beautiful because I think, like St. Thomas Aquinas, one of our greatest doctors, St. Therese has the, I think, unique experience that every pope since her time has exhorted the faithful to turn to her in particular for the doctrine of her little way, her abandonment in the arms of Jesus, and letting God be the one to do the heavy lifting when it comes to making us saints. But in particular, her miracles are her trademark, her roses. So on the day of her beatification, your listeners might know that while there's, in Therese's day, it was a little rougher to become a saint. You had to have two miracles. In our day, only one for beatification. And then the church requires now one more miracle than it was two after the day of beatification. And the beatification itself shows that the saint is in heaven with God, the blessed. But the canonization, the two more miracles, shows that God wants to present this person to the whole world, not just maybe the part of the world they lived in or their religious order. So with Therese, on the day of her beatification, there at the homily, at the Mass, I believe it was, the Pope preached about her miracles, and that very day there were 30 more miracles which occurred that were reported later in the next days, months, weeks, to the Carmel that they were able to use for her canonization process because they were after the beatification, just barely. And two of these were easily chosen for her canonization. The book itself, Shower of Roses, tells a wonderful story about Pope Francis. He, as the latest pope to have much time, we'll wait and see what wonderful things Pope Leo says, but we know John Paul II made Therese a doctor of the church in 97, the centenary of her entrance to eternal life. But Pope Francis, few people know he wrote a gorgeous apostolic letter 2 years ago, C'est la confiance, it is confidence and nothing but confidence, which must lead us to love, is a line of hers. He was it's an exhortation to the faithful to her little way. He was very devoted to her. And there's a story about how when he was cardinal, the book tells that he used to go on a visit on a particular feast day to his diocese, and he would walk and walk and walk and visit the people. But this one year, he was particularly tired, and Therese had the habit of giving him a white rose when he prayed to her. And sure enough, his chauffeur was worried about him, and can you make it? Can you walk? His leg was hurting him. He said, well, we'll see. And an unknown man came up and handed him a white rose, and from that moment, he felt strong, and he was able to finish the pilgrimage. So a small miracle, but a sweet one.
Absolutely. We're talking today with Susie Andres about a brand new book, A Shower of Roses, The Most Beautiful Miracles of St. Therese of Lisieux, from Angelico Press. And as we wrap up the interview today, what is the great hope, given your interest in St. Therese and this beautiful book, what is the hope for people who pick up this book and read about these incredible miracles?
My hope is that they will learn one of the beautiful things about this book, besides that it has lovely pictures inside, is that you can read in it about St. Therese's little way, and her miracles are all to show her friendship with us and the love of God for us. And you'll find out, readers will find out, listeners who pick up the book will find out that she wants us to trust God. She wants us to have hope in him. And as she said, following St. John of the Cross, we can never have too much confidence in him. He is so mighty and so merciful. So I would hope, especially any listeners who are struggling with hope right now, who are finding the world a depressing place or suffering from personal difficulties, pick up this book, A Shower of Roses, that Angelico Press has put out, and learn about how much one particular saint loves you, just representing the panoply of saints who are all representing the infinite love of God for you.
Very well put. Well, we're so grateful to you, Susie Andres, for talking to us about this brand new book in light of the feast day of St. Therese on October 1st. The name of the book is A Shower of Roses, The Most Beautiful Miracles of St. Therese of Lisieux. Thank you so much for joining us on today's program.
Thanks, Michael.
God bless. That was Susie Andres talking to us about this new book from Angelico Press, Shower of Roses, The Beautiful Miracles of St. Therese of Lisieux. Pick this one up anywhere Catholic books are sold. And that's all the time we have for today's show. If you missed any of this episode or want to catch up on past episodes, you can go to EWTN.com/radio, check out the audio archives, or download the free EWTN app. I'd like to thank our guest today, Kevin Matthews, talking about the brand new film, Broken Mary. You can go to BrokenMaryFilm.com for more information on that. And also a brand new book, A Shower of Roses, The Most Beautiful Miracles of St. Therese of Lisieux, talking today with Susie Andres. Check out my series, Explore with the Miracle Hunter, which airs every week on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. The next episode is A Visit to Paray-le-Monial in France, where St. Margaret Mary Ellicoque first experienced dramatic visions of Jesus' Sacred Heart. I explore the origins of this cherished devotion. And I'd like to thank you for joining me today on Miracle Hunter, where from claims of healings and visions, the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt. Talk to you next week.